the air changes before the road does. One moment you're grinding through the flat, bleached out plain west of Jizzak, the heat wobbling off the asphalt in waves, and the next you're climbing, the engine working harder, and there's a smell of pine or something like it coming through the vents. I'd left Tashkent at 6 in the morning to beat the traffic and the worst of the sun. And now, 3 hours and a bit later, I was winding up into the Turkestan range, leaving the summer behind. It's a strange feeling, driving out of August into what feels like a different country. I took the Afrosiab high-speed train from Tashkent to Jizzak, a little under an hour and a half, and it cost me about 90,000 som, which is roughly $7. The train was cool and quiet, a relief after a week of city heat. From the Jizzak station, I'd arranged a driver to take me the rest of the way, about 110 kilometers up into the mountains. It cost around 400,000 som, $30 or so, and worth every som for the luxury of not navigating those switchbacks myself. The drive itself is the first attraction. You leave the city on the M39, the old Silk Road route, and for a while it's all flat, irrigated fields and roadside stalls selling melons and apricots. Then, just past the town of Zaman, the road starts to climb. The landscape shifts from brown and gold to green. The air thins, the light softens, and there's this constant, gentle rushing sound that I eventually realize is the wind in the juniper trees. The locals call it archa, and it's everywhere. This ancient, gnarled forest that covers the north slope of the range like a deep green carpet. My new base is the settlement of Zaman Toroy, a name that translates roughly as Zaman II, a lowland place of about 25,000 people, 9 kilometers from the district town of Zaman. It's not a resort, not yet. It's a working town with a bazaar, a couple of tea houses, and a monument to something I haven't identified yet. But it's real, and it's home for the next few weeks. The rent for a modest one-bedroom flat here, I'm told, starts from about 275,000 som a month, which is around $22. That's the statutory minimum. The real market is probably higher, but it gives you a sense of how far money goes outside the capital. I dropped my bags, which took about 5 minutes, and then went straight out. The whole point of coming here, apart from the paperwork, was the park. Zaman National Park is 156 square kilometers of protected juniper forest, gorges, and waterfalls on the north slope of the Turkestan Range. It was established in 1960, and there are plans to nominate it for UNESCO World Heritage status. I'm told officials have been working on the dossier in Paris and Busan all year, and there's a real sense of local pride about it. The park entrance fee for foreign visitors is about 40,000 som, $3, which feels almost insultingly cheap. I paid at a small booth near the village of Shagar, where the road starts the serious climb. A few hundred meters past the booth, there's a sign for the Baboyongak tree, a legendary 700-year-old juniper, one of the oldest living things in the country. I stop to pay my respects. It's enormous, all twisted limbs and silvery bark, and it's hard not to feel a little humbled standing under something that was already old when Timur's empire was just a gleam in a conqueror's eye. From there, the road winds steeply up to the Suffa Plateau, which sits at about 2,400 meters. This is where the Soviet-era sanatorium belt begins, and more recently, the resort development. There's a Wyndham-branded hotel up here now, the Suffa Plateau 2400, part of the state's aggressive branding of this area as the Swiss Alps of Uzbekistan. You can see the logic. The air is clean, the views across the plain are vast, and the temperature is a good 10 degrees cooler than down below. I wanted to walk, not just look, so I found a trailhead near the Zaman Sanatorium, a sprawling, slightly faded complex from the Soviet years, all concrete balconies and stucco, still running its therapeutic treatments in the juniper air. The trail I took follows the Yeriklisoy Gorge, and it's the kind of walk that makes you understand why people talk about this place in spiritual terms. The path is worn, barely a foot wide in places, and it threads through the forest, across streams, and up to a small waterfall called Sharshara. It's not a huge drop, but the water is icy and clear, and the sound of it fills the whole gorge. There are bigger falls. The two-stage Hayat waterfall is the main one, a proper trek that takes most of a day. I didn't have the time or the gear on that first afternoon, so I settled for the lower section, a scramble up a rocky slope to the first stage. There's a pool at the base, and I watched a family from Tashkent wading in, shrieking with the cold, while the parents set out a picnic of naan, tomatoes, and boiled eggs. It was a perfect picture of the Uzbek summer, the city heat escaping to the mountains for the weekend. Back at the plateau, I treated myself to lunch at one of the new places near the cable car. There's a 305-meter suspension bridge here, the country's only one, and it hangs 150 meters above a gorge. Crossing it is not for the faint-hearted. It swings gently with each step, and the view down is a long way down. I paid a few thousand som to cross, and it was worth every coin for the adrenaline alone. Nearby, a 36-cabin cable car runs up to a higher viewpoint, and they're apparently building new gondola lifts as part of the expansion. I was told Austrian engineers from Doppelmayr have been surveying the area, so there's construction activity higher up, but the existing lift served me fine. For lunch, I went to a no-name Choi Kona near the bridge, the kind of place that doesn't need a sign because everyone knows it. A wooden platform, a charcoal grill, and a view of the valley. I ordered what the man at the next table was having. A plate of jizz, a dish of fried liver and potatoes that's a local specialty, and a skewer of kebab. The meat was cooked over juniper wood, and I will never forget that flavor, smoky, almost sweet, impossible to replicate on a gas grill at home. A big plate with bread and a pot of green tea cost about 30,000 som, $2 or $3. Felt like a bargain for food that good at that altitude. In the evening, I took the shared Damas minibus back down to Zaman Toroy. These little white vans are the arteries of this district, cash only, fixed routes, and the driver dropped me at the bazaar with a friendly nod. The Zaman Bazaar is on the flat, and on a Sunday, it's the living exhibition of the district. Mountain honey, fresh apples and walnuts, hand-shaped naan. But it was a Saturday, so it was quieter, and I just walked through, picking up a few apples for the flat. The first walnuts of the season were just coming in, and the seller insisted I try one, cracking it open with a twist of his wrist. It was sweet and milky, nothing like the dried things you get in the city. Later, I had dinner at a place called Yuzinen, a restaurant that a local had recommended, and I was not disappointed. It's a big, noisy room with long tables, families, groups of friends, and the occasional solo traveler like me. I had the Jizak Samsa, which is a giant, football-sized pastry with a flaky crust and a juicy, spiced lamb filling, a whole meal in itself. Cost about 12,000 som under a dollar, which astonished me. I washed it down with a glass of compote, and I sat there for a while, just watching the room, feeling the rhythm of a place that is a world away from Tashkent's coffee shop circuit. The sun sets late here, close to 7:30, and the light does something peculiar to the mountains, turning the juniper-covered slopes a deep, bruised purple. I walked back to my flat along the main road, the Sangzer River gurgling somewhere below in the dark. There's a new moon, so the stars are out in force, a thick, glittering smear of them, brighter than anything I ever saw from the city. I stood on my balcony for a long time, just looking. This is why I came, I think. Not for the Samsa, not for the cable car, but for this, the quiet, the cold air, the sense of being somewhere that still feels wild. There is a sadness in this district, though. On the drive up, my driver told me about a young blogger, a woman from Jizak, who died a few days ago in a car crash. She was filming while driving on the night of the 4th, a week before I arrived, and her car hit a tree. She was 21. He said it was all over social media, the warnings, the tributes. It felt like a warning for all of us who spend our lives looking at the world through a screen, this country, my adopted home, still learning the cost of that distraction. I thought about it as I walked, the way we chase the perfect shot, the perfect moment, and sometimes miss the actual road in front of us. That night, I fell asleep to the sound of wind in the junipers, a sound I'm starting to think of as the voice of this place. In the morning, I have a plan, a guided hike to the Gurulash summit, at over 3,000 meters. A licensed guide costs between 300 and 450,000 som per day, about $30. And for that, you get a local who knows the paths, the weather, and the safe places to cross the streams. It's worth the money. The mountains here don't mess around. So that's the plan. A week in Zaman, learning the trails, eating the food, breathing this air. I'll report back. For now, I'm just a man in a mountain town in Uzbekistan, surrounded by the oldest junipers on earth, far from the noise of the capital and feeling, for the first time since I arrived, like I'm exactly where I should be. Assalamu alaikum from the mountains. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Actually, one last thing before I go. If you're planning a visit, and you should be, there's no transit card, no app, no pass. It's cash and it's local. The bazaar is your transport hub, and the Damas minibus is your friend. And the registration rule, the one I spent all last week sorting in Tashkent, applies here too. Make sure your hotel or host registers you within 3 days of arrival, or you'll have to deal with OVIR in a town where the office closes for lunch and the queue is an hour long. I've done my part. Now I'm off to sleep, with the juniper whispering outside my window and a whole mountain range to explore tomorrow. The light is gone now, the last of the purple faded to black. There's no sound but the wind, and maybe a dog far off, and the occasional chime of a bell from somewhere in the valley. This is Zaman, and I'm home. Good night.